Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." You have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. If you do those things, then God will respond. So there are certain things that we do, and God's promises will be fulfilled, and there is nothing that can stand in the way.
There is nothing that can stop our God, and nothing that can stop His promises. Our part is to receive those promises through faith and patience. Don't stop waiting, hoping, and praying on God. He is working and He is faithful. With part one of our final study in the book of Acts, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we want to thank you that we have an opportunity this upcoming Wednesday to be able to gather together to take communion and remember that wonderful work that you did on that cross for us to be able to have our sins forgiven and to be able to walk with you, that we could look to the cross. Even now when we sin and we confess, we look to the cross and we see you there paying the price for our sins. Lord, we also pray that you would bless this Bible study as we this evening wrap up the book of Acts. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is our final study of the book of Acts. We've been in this book, I don't know if you've been keeping track, for well over a year. This is our 62nd study in the book of Acts. So we've really dived in. Now, if you want to go back and study all 62 studies, there's a few different ways you could do that. You could go to calvarytucson.com, go to the teaching section, scroll down until you get the New Testament. There's the Old Testament section and the New Testament section. Click on the book of Acts, and they're put in there in reverse order, so you're going to have to go back to chapter 1. I think it's chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and you can go through all of our studies, video and audio. You could also listen to them on Truth Quest podcast. Subscribe to that. You just go back in time until you get to the first one of Acts, and then you can listen forward on Truth Quest podcast as well. You could also go to our YouTube channel. Well, we have 73,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. You can go there and you can watch them. Go to playlists and then look up Acts. Click on that and it will pull them up from the very beginning, and you can go through the whole book of Acts with us. Now, the title of our message today is Paul's Ministry and Arrival at Rome. This has been a long time coming. This is more exciting to Paul than we think about, because he has been wanting to go to Rome for a while. Paul has desired to travel and go to Rome. In fact, you could build a theme for the book of Acts that would be the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome. The book of Acts opens up with them in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit being given in Acts chapter 2, and the church starting and 5,000 people getting saved and baptized on that day. The last chapter ends up with Paul in Rome for 2 years, giving the gospel daily to anyone who will come to his house that he is under house arrest in. Now listen to what Paul says about his desire to go to Rome from the book of Romans. Now remember, Romans was written when Paul was in Corinth. So it was quite a bit of time before this. Paul had spent about a year and a half in Corinth. He had written the book of Romans there. Then he went to Ephesus for a couple more years. Then he went up into Macedonia again, to Philippi, to Thessalonica, before he made his way to Jerusalem where he was arrested. So for several years, this is what had been on Paul's heart. Here's what Paul says about his desire to go to Rome in Romans 1, starting in verse 8. Here's what he says. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken throughout the world." Paul didn't plant the church of Rome. We don't really know how the church got planted there. Rome was a huge, significant city. But Paul says that he thinks of them and he wants to go. Verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with the spirit of the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers." Paul says, I've been praying for you guys there in Rome. For a long time, I see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established. That is, that I might be encouraged together with you by the multi-faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. As much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So God had laid upon his heart a desire to go to Rome to preach the gospel. When Paul was put under the protective custody in Jerusalem, we're told, and he was probably a little discouraged because he wanted to go to preach to the Jews who were in Jerusalem. He wants to preach to the Jews who are in Rome that Jesus is the Messiah, and he's discouraged. And in Acts 23:11, it says, but the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome. So not only did he have his own desire to go to Rome and had determined long before this that he was going to go, but Jesus appeared to him at a moment of discouragement and said, cheer up, I'm going to send you to Rome. Then you remember here recently when they were in the storm, in the midst of the storm, and all hope that they would make it to Rome was gone. And that night an angel of the God whom Paul served stood by Paul and said, don't be afraid, for you will stand before Caesar. See, God had promised Paul that he was going to go to Rome, and he was going to make it. There was no way that he wasn't. And this brings us to our first lesson for our study today. And that lesson is, when God makes promises, nothing can stop him from bringing it about. God had promised Paul that he was going to go to Rome. There was nothing that was going to stop him from going there. Not a Euroclydon, which is a weather system, not a storm, not a shipwreck, not a snake that would bite him, a poisonous snake that would bite him and kill most people. But because God had promised something to Paul, it wasn't going to happen. Now, most of the promises in the Bible are conditional. There are certainly ones where God says, I will do this, and there's no condition. But most of the promises are conditional. That's why it's good for us to know what the promises are so that we can meet the conditions. I'll give you an example. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. You have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. If you do those things, then God will respond. So there are certain things that we do, and God's promises will be fulfilled, and there is nothing that can stand in the way. You might feel like a storm in your life, or some snake that came out of nowhere and bit you has caused the promises of God to be of no effect, but there's no way that can happen. Listen to what Hebrews 6:12 says, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God had laid upon Paul's heart almost 5-6 years before he ever went to Rome that he would go there. And through faith and patience, he inherited that promise with all the things that looked like they were going to stop him from being able to go. That's the same way that we receive those promises from God as well. Now, when we left them, that is Paul, Luke, and Aristobulus, they were stranded on the island of Malta. However, the people of Malta had helped them, and Paul had ministered to them. That's where we ended our study last time. Now we read in verse 11 of Acts 27, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered on the island. So the ship had wintered on the island of Malta. Now the figurehead, think of the ships of their day and how they had the figureheads on them. Some of them had women on the front of the ship. Some of them had gods that were represented on the front of the ship. This is Romulus and Remus. They are Greek gods that they had on the figurehead of this ship. Now I find it interesting that Paul didn't go, I object. I will not get on this ship that has anything to do with Greek mythology. Paul saw it as a boat that would carry them. And you've got to reach the people that are in Greek mythology. And so you've got to be around them to be able to do it. And even though there was something on the boat that saluted idolatry, Paul still got on the boat. Now you say he's a prisoner, he had to get on the boat. Yeah, I guess that's true, but he could have made a stink about it for sure. Verse 12 says, and landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. Now, Malta is down a significant distance below Sicily, and Syracuse is on Sicily. So when they got on this Alexandrian boat, they traveled and they went up to Sicily. Now, Sicily, the way that you remember it, right? It's the soccer ball that the boot of Italy is kicking. That's Sicily. And so they stop there. And then it says, verse 13, and there we circled around to Rehagium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And the next day we came to Puteoli. Now, Rehagium is on the very toe of the boot of Italy. And Rehagium is up quite a ways. So south wind blew and they're heading up to Rome. Now the suspense is building. They're getting closer and closer to Rome. Puteoli is about 150 miles away from Rome. Verse 14, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we went towards Rome. So in Puteoli, 150 miles away from Rome, they find Christians and they stay with them for 7 days. And now they start their hike towards Rome. They've taken the boat as far as they're going to go. Now they're heading into Rome. Now, the people of their day were in really good shape. They walked a lot. If you and I have to walk 20 miles a day, we would be exhausted just because we're not in that good of shape. If they really pushed it, they could make 40 miles a day. For them, walking 30, 35 miles a day was not out of the question because this is how they got around. They walked. And so this is going to take them a few days to be able to get there. Verse 15, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came and they met us as far as Appii Forum and three inns, where Paul saw them and thanked God and took courage. What's happening here? The brethren from Rome, the believers, Christians, hear that Paul is walking up, and they walk 40 miles to meet him. Basically a day's journey, a round trip of 80 miles. So they go there to see the Apostle Paul. Paul had written them a letter. They knew about him and they go to meet him. Notice that when Paul sees these believers from Rome, it's not Rome that has a special place in Paul's heart. It's not the buildings of Rome that he wants to see. It's the Christians in Rome. And so when he sees them, he's greatly encouraged. I wonder how encouraged we get when we go to different places and we find Christians there. I know that over the years, I've gone different places into different Calvary chapels and just seeing people with the same heart and the same mind, or traveling someplace. I went to Charles Swindoll's church one time, just was greatly encouraged to see people that were so on fire for Christ and who wanted to live wholeheartedly for him. Verse 16 says, and when they came to Rome, that just seems like a matter of fact, offhand statement by Luke. And when they came to Rome, I think if I were Luke, I would have written it, and finally, when Paul walked into the city limits of Rome, because it's taken so much to get here. And to me, I don't have any evidence of this, but I think Satan had been fighting against Paul not going to Rome. He wanted to discredit the promises of God. And I think part of that storm, that Euroclydon, part of the snake attacking him, was all part of Satan trying to stop what God was wanting to do in his life. And I wonder, well, I don't know how that we have to wonder. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. We all face spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle, trying to stop the promises of God from coming true in your life. The good news is that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And Paul finally crosses over into Rome. It says, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captains of the guard. This was Julian, remember him? He was the centurion on the ship. He had saved the lives of those prisoners. I think he was really happy to drop them off at the prison. Here they are. I've delivered them to you. I'm done. It says then, and now we learn something about Paul's imprisonment. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Now, think of that. You're a soldier that has to guard Paul. You don't have cell phones to stare at. You don't have TVs to watch. You're going to talk. What kind of things do you think that Paul talked about? Now, Paul appealed to Caesar. We're going to get a little bit more of that here in a moment. So he wasn't really under arrest in the sense that there was a charge against him. So he wasn't put in prison for some charge. He was allowed to stay in a home. We'll get that before this is all done. It explains more of this in a moment. But he stays in a home, but he always has a soldier with him. Now, Paul entering into Rome, finally, this thing that he had longed for, that he wanted to happen, that God used to encourage him in the midst of the storm and in the struggles that he had in talking to the brethren in Jerusalem, brings us to our next lesson. And that is, the day will come. The day that you are looking for. The day that God has promised and spoken to you. And despite difficulties and obstacles, God's promises will come to pass. God's faithful. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This specifically is the promise of his return. He is going to return one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God, don't miss this, has a purpose in the delay. When we have promises from him and we're delaying, God has his purposes in that delay. I have a friend of mine who was single, and the Lord spoke to his heart and said, stop looking for a wife. I'll bring one along and she'll be perfect for you. Here recently, he said, it's been a while now since that promise. He just needs to remember that God has a purpose in the delay. He's working something out in her. He's working something out in him. He's doing what he's doing. God has his plan. Now we come to Paul's ministry in Rome. Paul's made it to Rome. He's been traveling for over a year. He had to winter on the island of Malta. They wanted to make it before winter and get all the way to Rome. But now he's there. How long does it take Paul before he gets going after things? Verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. Paul hung out in Rome, took in the sights, slept in a little bit, recovered from his year-long journey, almost dying on the boat, being shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, by resting for 3 days. And then called the leader of the Jews together because Paul wants to minister to the Jews. Remember that in the book of Romans, Paul had said, I would that I would be damned, that my brethren in the flesh, that is Israelites or Jewish people, might be saved. He loves his people. He desires that they would be saved. He preached to them when he was in Jerusalem. It didn't work out so well. Now he calls them to his house, and we wonder, how is that going to work out? So he called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, same way he started in Jerusalem, by the way, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the custom of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hand of the Romans. The first thing he wants them to know is I don't have anything against you. Paul sees Christianity as a completing of Judaism. Jesus is the Mashiach. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. And so he says, I have nothing against you. Then verse 18, and when they had examined me and wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death, but when the Jews spoke against it, this is the high priest and the Sanhedrin that spoke against him being let go, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. That's appealing to the highest court in the land, to the Supreme Court, which for them was Caesar's court. I appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything which to accuse my nation. He says, I'm not going to go in front of Caesar and say anything about you guys. I don't have anything to accuse you of. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with these chains. And I got to think that Paul motioned to his chains. Paul had a house. He was under house arrest. Today, when you're under house arrest, they put a little bracelet around your ankle you're not supposed to be able to remove. You go outside of the perimeter of your house and it goes off and now you're in trouble. Well, in their day, the little ankle bracelet was attached to a Roman soldier by a chain. And Paul picked up the chain and said, it is for the hope of Israel that I am in these chains. He doesn't see the chains as him being a victim treated unfairly, but it is for the hope of Israel. Now, Paul used that phrase, the hope of Israel, several different occasions, and he's always referring to the Messiah. It is for the Messiah that I am in these chains. It is for the hope of Israel. 3,500 years ago, God promised Moses a deliverer would arise who is like unto Moses, who would deliver God's people. The nation of Israel has been waiting for that for 3,500 years because they did not receive Jesus as their Messiah. In 2006, a famous rabbi, considered to be one of the most famous rabbis in all of history, his name was Ishak Reduni, his last name, if I'm not saying it correctly, but he died in 2006, but he had said that he knew who the Messiah was before he died. And Ishak had written it down and had it put away to be read a year after he died. You can look this up. He was considered to be, again, 108 years old, born in 1898. And a year later, they open it up and there's a statement saying something like, he is risen, and it gives the statement, but the first letter of each word, and this is common in the Bible, it's common in Hebrew literature, that they'll make a statement where the first letter of each word spells something out, and the first letter of each word spelled out the one who was risen as Joshua, Yahshua, as Jesus. There were 500,000 people at his funeral, 500,000 Jewish people in his funeral, considered the largest funeral in all of Israel. A year later, under the anticipation of who the Messiah was, it was opened up and said that it was Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.